welcome back to another episode of Behind the Ginger Stash podcast. As stated online, I have left Fort McMurray and entered Vancouver to bring you back from the first two episodes that we did, Mr. Aussie John.
How's it going?
It's been good, man. Pretty good. Pretty excited to get to come back and chat with you a little bit again.
What am I in for tonight?
I have no idea. Kind of just thought I would sit down and kind of catch up with you a bit. Let everybody else catch up with you a little bit. I guess we'll start off with, you had any stories?
No, actually, nothing at all. I'm still wearing the cross and still not had anything else. I've had nights where I've been tempted to take it off and see what happens, but...
You're not doing it?
Nah, I don't want to... I don't know, like... Again, like I said in the first time, I don't know, because I can't actually prove that any of the stuff actually happened to me, and I can't actually prove that it wasn't in my head or it was in my head.
So maybe you are just crazy.
So, like, well, it's always a possibility of being crazy, but, like, it's one of those things that I could take it off and it was never anything but psychological to begin with, or it could be something, or who knows what, right? So... It's something that I don't know whether I want to tamper with because it hasn't happened to me in this place and I don't want to bring it to this place, if that makes sense.
So, but now you're going to be leaving, aren't you?
Yeah, that's true. I can so just that's leave it with Matt.
So where are you going to go?
I'm sticking around North End, I think, is the ideal location. It's either going to be North Vancouver or downtown Vancouver, depending on... what we can get and what we can get for the cost. Doesn't make sense. So, like, what we could get cost-wise in North End versus downtown, because what you pay downtown would be for a bedroom, one bedroom. You could get two bedroom in North End. So it's just tossing up.
It's pretty brutal as soon as you go across that little bit of water there, eh?
Yeah, so it's just tossing up between having the second bedroom or having a nice one bedroom in North Van, or having the same sort of quality one bedroom as we got here downtown for the same price, if not a little bit more than we pay here, but for the luxury of being downtown. But I guess the biggest thing is most of our friends are over this side. Like, we've got like Cam Marina down the road, and a few of Claire's friends are up Lynn Valley and stuff like that. Oh, not Lynn Valley, sorry, upper Lonsdale.
Well, how long have you been living in this spot?
Just over 2 years.
Just under 2 years.
No, just over. I signed the lease on the 1st of February, so... And now it's the...
Well, you remember 24th. Why you moved into this place, though, right?
Yeah, because you lived right across the road, and then you moved.
Sometimes, plans change.
Yeah.
And you have to. And the next thing you know, you're flying 2 hours... Come back and do a podcast. if it sounds like we're whispering at all to anybody, outside of the door of the room we're in, there's a group of people out there, and we can pretty much hear everything they're saying. And so we're just trying to kind of keep it down towards the mic and kind of keep them as distant as possible. So if you hear some background noise, that's what's going on. And that's why we're a little bit quieter.
I will try my best to cut some of it out, though, but we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, because you got quite the editing program, I think, you got going on.
Yeah.
Or at least you're better at it than I am.
It's not a bad little setup for what I paid, right? Like, you sort of pay $600 for the M-Box and get Pro Tools with it. And
I got to get one of these. All I am, everything I have is pretty mobile. Like, it's literally a plug-in mic.
Yeah, it actually goes a long way, man.
Unless I'm in Fort McMurray and I'm with some of the guys from Shadows.
Yeah.
Then we're in a basement studio, and so it's not so bad.
I shouldn't move around too much shit.
No, yeah. I'm making a lot of noise over there. It's too bad we couldn't try out the new mic, though.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I'll do some screen tracks and send those through to you and see what they're like.
So you're, how many bands are you playing in now?
I've got one which I'm regularly practicing in. And I've got a second project, which I would say is my main project, but it's at the stage where we've sort of set out a goal for the year. We want to have a demo recorded for Fox Seeds. That's sort of the plan at the moment.
Explain what Fox Seeds is.
So Fox Seeds is a radio station based competition to find unsigned bands in the rock genre, even though most bands that won recently I wouldn't consider to be rock.
Is it called Fox Seeds or is it called Vancouver Seeds?
Fox Seeds.
Fox Seeds?
Yeah, Fox Seeds Vancouver.
Yeah. And so if you're not a citizen, can you still be in it?
I'm pretty sure it's just as long as you're living in Vancouver. I don't think there's any sort of stipulations. I think an Australian band could enter from Australia, but it is supposed to be a Vancouver-based band. You have to be local enough to play the shows that you're nominated to play if you get into the second round and get picked.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. A lot of bands kind of got noticed through that, haven't they?
Well, like, every band that...
I can't remember, do you remember any notable acts that have come through Seeds and progressed?
I hate to say the name. It makes my neck cringe just saying it, but Nickelback was a Fox.
Right, yeah, they were, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. They're obviously the most notable, but Matthew Good, Daniel Wesley.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Matthew Good was a Seeds winner, too, or at least competitor at one time.
I think he won it. But Daniel Wesley definitely did. But, like, majority of the Fox Seeds tend to have at least a good year or two worth of being recognized as a top 40 Vancouver band. But it's whether they can hold it together after that point, right? Because, like, you know as well as I do, being in a band, it's not the easiest to hold together when you're trying to balance four egos and personalities or five egos and personalities and whatnot, and trying to travel with people on the road, and you sort of learn.
It can be pretty tough.
Yeah, and like you can learn a lot about people within the first couple of weeks of being in the band with them, because once you start dealing with creativity and all that kind of stuff, you start to see how protective people can be over their creativity and how much people are willing to give and take.
Yeah, when is the line of it being your song or a band song?
Yeah, exactly, and things like
that.
Well,
we've dealt with that in the past, too. Like, you and I were in a band together.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't... I guess that band wasn't the worst of the bands we could. I mean, there was obviously...
It was a little dictated,
there was a few egos here and there, but having one guitarist, I think, was a good thing, because, like, obviously, when we did have two guitarists, it didn't work.
Poor kid.
Yeah. Like, obviously, that was...
Well, clearly, back
issues.
To when we had one guitarist, it didn't work either.
Yeah.
Because, well...
Well,
we had...
It's not so much the fact of having the one guitarist. It was issues that followed. For example, Mark's issues, and then, obviously, you moving away and stuff like that. And, like, Josh and I tried to keep at it after you'd moved away, and we'd found... Travis jumped in on bass for us for a while, and he wouldn't stick around because it wasn't worth his time to keep doing it, because it became so unstable with Mark's, at that point, deteriorating condition. But
you ever hear from him?
Yeah, I've heard from Mark a couple of times, actually. We were supposed to catch up when Josh was back from Manitoba last time, and it just didn't end up by happening, which I wasn't overly surprised about, but you know, these things happen.
Yeah. So, the group you're in now, you guys just had a gig recently, didn't you?
Yeah, the
well, one of them anyways,
yeah, the
right?
band I wouldn't consider to be my main band.
Hope they didn't hear that.
Yeah, they totally understand. Like, the drummer's in a second band and all that kind of stuff, and it's not a project I write.
What kind of music is it?
I'm calling it happy metal.
Happy metal.
Yeah, it's kind of got a bright tone to it. The drummer writes all the lyrics, and they're really positive lyrics, which is a complete flip side to what I did.
You sent me a little bit, and when I heard back what you had sent me, I was like, "What is John writing now?"
Yeah, yeah, but I don't like. I enjoy doing it.
Excuse me, I got a wicked cough right now.
I enjoy doing it. Like, I really like hanging out with guys, and I don't mind singing other people's lyrics. I'm not egotistical about anything, to be honest. I'm always open to singing other people's stuff. I'm always open to taking direction from people and stuff like that. It's all about doing whatever I can to better myself as a vocalist, because as far as I go as a vocalist, I'm not the best around. I'm like, I've come a long way since I've started singing, which would have been 7 years ago, which was the first time I ever actually considered myself being able to sing in a band. Before that, I never sang in front of people at all.
Like, you always played guitar, though, right?
Yeah, I was a guitarist before that. And it was just something I never considered I'd ever be able to do. And it just took a guitarist from my band at that time overheard me singing at a party once, just like we're sitting in the car listening to some music and I was just singing along. He's like, you've actually got a pretty good voice. You should, you know, jump in and we'll both sing in this band. So I started doing some backing vocals, and then we both moved to another band and we both shared lead vocals at that point. And just started getting lessons from there, moved to Canada, jumped straight into Fallen and Faithful. And as far as vocalists go, I'm not experienced at all. Like, I've only been singing for 8 years, 7 years, and I'm 28, so like very, very late bloomer, because most people who consider themselves singing are singing by the time of 14, 15, and like before that they'd sing around the house and not be concerned about singing in front of other people, whereas I was like, I'd never sing in front of anyone. Like, it'd be embarrassing if someone caught me singing. Like, if I was singing to myself and someone overheard me, I'd like shut down, and because I just didn't consider myself a singer. So.
Yeah, I don't like singing in front of people.
But, like, it's amazing. Like, I look back on how far I've grown, and I'm, like, I'm quite proud of myself to have gone from someone who would never, ever consider singing in front of someone to, like, being a guitarist who sang, to being pure singer, screamer, to a band now where I'm majority clean for Unwritten Scriptures, the band which is my second band.
And by clean, you mean you sing instead of scream?
Yeah, like
screaming. This isn't a, you know, he doesn't have issues, you know.
But like Unwritten Scriptures, so that's the band I was just talking about before. It is probably 60-40 clean to screams. Whereas the band I'm doing with Ray, which hasn't been named yet, but that's the one I'm progressing to try and get in for Fox Seeds this year. It's 90.
Ooh, don't let that other band hear that.
95% clean, like 95% to 99% clean. So
is that the progressive one that you sent me some stuff from, right?
Yeah. So it's again a massive growth for me. To be able to go from being majority screams to majority
Are you going to go back to doing a lot of screaming anytime soon?
If the right band came up, like...
Obviously, you know why I'm asking you that. Like, me and the guys from Shadows, we want to progress a little further out of northern Alberta, get a little more south, a little more west coast. But we can only come in as really as a support act, because outside of our show the other night, we're not very well known, obviously. So. Yeah.
I'm trying to
get... We got to match styles a little bit.
Yeah. I'm trying to get the guys from Unwritten Scriptures to start pushing in a heavier direction, because when I was with Fallen and the Faithful, I was looking for side projects at that point because I wanted a different outlet. As you'd know, music is a vital outlet for an artist, or I wouldn't say an artist, but for a musician. Like, it's something that you just sort of can pour yourself into. And The Fallen and the Faithful was great for me to be able to get any sort of angers and stuff out of me, because, like, as you know, I'm not an angry person. I'm pretty laid back. I don't like confrontation. And that was my outlet to get my frustrations out and my angers out, from everything from personal issues through to
sexual frustrations.
No, but through to like my, I guess, disagreement with the way society is today, you know, like those sort of things. Like, everyone has their beliefs and issues on the way society is and should be and that kind of stuff. And it was my little outlet to have my little say in kind of sneaky ways as well, I'd try and write things as cryptically as I could, so that way I got to say whatever I want. I remember
some of the lyrics from Foamy,
Yeah, so I try and say things as cryptical as I could and get what I want to get off my chest in a way that's not going to offend people. And for people who don't like to look into songs too much and too deeply, there was enough there that they could get their meaning for it from a surface. And for people who like to dig deeper, it could get as deep as they wanted it to go, I guess.
Insightful. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I haven't written a song lyric in so long.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't even really remember how. Well, in a way where, like, obviously I know how to, but what I do now, when I try, I think that's the problem, is I'm trying. Whereas before, you remember back in the Fallen days how much I could flow out, like, 6 pages of song lyrics per song and, like, do, like, 5 songs like that a day. Like, I was ridiculous for a while there.
Mm.
And now I, like, sit down and I'm like, what rhymes with bird?
I totally understand what you're, like, what you're going through, because I'm sort of in the same boat as well.
Yeah, I, like, oops, that made a lot of noise. I hit, like, a forever writer's block.
It's never forever.
I hope not, because, I don't know, there was a while there I was doing some pretty good stuff, and now it's, well, like I said, it's a real struggle. I'm finding that I'm having a hard time writing almost anything, like guitar parts. I'm having a hard time coming up with stuff. Like, if Matt and Bob from Shadows weren't writing as much as they were, I can, like, I barely even be able to contribute anything, because when they write, I can see what they're doing. I go, oh, that makes so much sense to me.
Yeah.
Bam, bass, 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 and I'm done, right? Yeah. But the minute that I'm like, you know what, I want to do a song and I want to bring it to them and be like, check it out, guys, this is what I got going on. Let's see if we can do this.
Yeah.
Nothing. Draw a blank.
Yeah.
It's like I've never picked up a guitar before.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. It gets quite frustrating. The biggest issue I have with those sort of things personally is when I try and write, I try and get myself into a mindset, and sometimes that can have a real, real negative effect. So when...
I feel like an angry song today. What can I do that's going to piss me off?
It's not so much that. Like, I constantly jot down one lines, like, all the time. Like, as soon as a line pops in my head, I'll jot down my phone. And then I'll get a song given to me by, in this case, Ray, and I'll listen to it, and I'll sort of let it present a mood. I'll let it sort of speak to me in that way. And then I'll quickly scroll through my lyrics and I'll find a line which sort of suits that mood. And then I'll try and put myself back into the mood I was in when I wrote that line. And it can be detrimental, because, like, you can be having a great day but need to write lyrics. And then you just put yourself in this negative mindset and it can be hard to break. You know, you can sort of have nothing wrong in your life. You can have everything going right for you for, like, weeks, months on end. And then you just put yourself in this negative mindset and it can hold you there for, like, you know, a few days at a time, just because you put yourself there on purpose, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's one thing I'm trying to avoid at the moment, and it makes it hard to actually write lyrics without going into that technique. So.
Whales. Oh, your screensaver went cut off there. I'm like, why did you just say whales? last time I was here, because you got to be my very first podcasting experience was done with you.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that I've grown quite a bit behind the mic since then, especially musically. Not just with Shadows, but I mean the music that we put in front of it as well. Because I don't know if you, after we did it, ever actually went back and had a listen?
No, I didn't. I listened to the recording that we did, but I didn't get to listen to it on the actual podcast.
Oh, man. I had like a real CBC radio thing going. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I almost kind of did it at the beginning of this one, just because there's people outside the room and, like, obviously we can be heard and we can obviously hear them, right?
Yeah.
I completely forgot where I was going with this. Oh, no. Yeah, so you were the first one on there. And as we trailed off on part two of our conversation, I discussed with you about asking you about your hypnosis.
Yeah.
And I said when I got you back, I wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
And are you still doing anything with that? Or what's going on here?
No, unfortunately. I do want to get back into it, but...
Always tell them what you were doing before, like what was going on.
So I was studying hypnosis through a guy I'd met when I was doing vocal lessons at Long & McQuaid. He was a hypnotist as well as a saxophone teacher. And I just met him there.
Sounds
and he got,
kinky.
And he got, well, he is a sex hypnotist.
Really?
Yeah, he's known as the love hypnotist.
Oh.
Yeah. So he does...
Hold on a second. Let's touch on that a little bit. What the hell is a sex hypnotist?
So he does dirty stage shows. So he's the kind of hypnotist that will get people up on stage and have them have orgasms on stage and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. Don't take photos of me, please.
Just keep talking. Tell your story.
So, so I met Sonny. If you want to look him up, he's got heaps of stuff on YouTube. He's quite funny. He's under Colin Rosati, I think it is. But he started doing some hypnosis classes through meetups.com. So I started going to those, started learning through that. I'd already had quite an interest in hypnosis because of Darren Brown, who's an English magician, street hypnotist and illusionist, and a mentalist. So I was really into that kind of stuff. So I started looking into what he did as well, which was NLP, which is Neuro-Linguistic Program. So that's the practice of using language to induce trances and all kinds of weird stuff like that and create change in people without actually putting them into a state of hypnosis, I guess. So I was looking into NLP as well. So I was practicing hypnosis and I was learning hypnosis, NLP on my own time. So, yeah, that's what I was doing, I guess.
I haven't watched a Darren Brown video in a while.
This is quite interesting.
What we were watching, that guy was just like, it was crazy. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I still catch up on his stuff. He hasn't done much.
I think the last one I watched was Apocalypse.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal. If nobody who is listening is aware of who Darren Brown is, you have to go on YouTube, everything he has ever done, because it's mind-bending.
It's kind of crazy to realize how much we as human beings can be sort of manipulated through language, I guess.
Yeah, but there's manipulation everywhere you look. Like, you used to talk about it all the time in pop music, man.
Yeah.
To bring it up all the time and point things out to me and talk about whatever you can think of from what you were learning about the music industry and how an audience is being manipulated through radio broadcasting.
Well, this is one thing which I'd sort of already known beforehand, but was really, really clarified to me when I started looking into hypnosis, because you start looking into things like subliminal messaging and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people claim this stuff to be, I guess, bullshit, but that's not really the argument here. It's more the point that using repetitive tones and repetitive sounds and repetitive noises is one way that people induce trance And these kind of techniques are used in cults and things like network marketing. And again, I don't know who's listening, so I don't want to offend too many people, but they have the same sort of techniques with churches and stuff like that, right? Like, when you get people all together and you have them all singing hymns and all those kind of things and singing really upbeat and bright music and stuff like that, and everyone gets into this group mentality and this group mindset, it's a form of group hypnosis. So you use music to manipulate people's moods, and you have them come towards a point where everyone gets together and everyone has an awesome time and they feel amazing, and then when they leave, nothing feels quite as good. So all of a sudden they start thinking about, well, it's good to be at this place. And like I said, it's how cults...
Like Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah, but like that's how cults how cults work and how cults can make people feel accepted.
Like
and,
Disneyland. Yeah.
And like network marketing, they use
I'm
it
just
to
kidding,
put...
Disney, I love you.
But like they use those sort of techniques to put people in good mindsets and stuff like that, and it encourages buying. That's why if you walk into...
Disneyland.
If you walk into any like... clothing store and stuff like that, that's why they always have poppy music and stuff playing like that, because you have like these things which are working on a subconscious level, and it puts you into a certain mindset and a certain mood, and you don't even realize you're being put in that mood. And these were the kind of things which really interested me when I started watching Darren Brown especially, and it interested me to start studying the NLP and hypnosis and all that stuff, but at the same time it kind of scared me because I'm not a manipulative person. And when I started trying to learn these techniques and trying to learn how to do hypnosis, I found it hard to push my borders of what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing and what's moral and what's right and what's wrong, because it's, again, whether it's real or not, it's a lot of responsibility to learn that kind of stuff. You know, it's you have to be able to be in control of yourself when you've got these sort of techniques, and it kind of scared me a little bit, I guess, looking into that kind of stuff, because you don't know what humans can be capable of, you know. Like,
yeah, you don't know who's trying to get you.
Yeah, and you don't know what you're going to be like when you have that sort of power and control over people, you know. Like, there's like a lot of people who are really good people who, once they start realizing they can manipulate people, can turn into terrible people.
You know? Well, you were going to meets, right?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff would take place in these meets? You'll have to talk about it?
Yeah, yeah.
It like, you know, secret society no. And you're not allowed to give out anything or what?
No, the meetup groups were really good. There was nothing concerning about the meetup groups whatsoever. It was all, as probably about four or five of us that would meet up, and we'd just like
now,
learn.
In these four or five, is it four or five hypnotists, or is it four or five like students who are studying, or
it was a free sort of thing. It wasn't like none of them were studying, but Sonny was obviously a qualified hypnotist. Like, he was certified.
Did he hypnotize you?
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not overly suggestive. So, suggestible, not suggestive. But I didn't realize. I actually thought I would be more suggestible than I was. But it was him who was qualified. There was a guy named Jasper who's now qualified. And a few people who came and
qualified, went. Qualified, like, how do you become qualified?
There's several different ways. Depends what, again, there's so many different disciplines of hypnosis. So, Jasper is a, what's the term for it? A conversational hypnotist. So, he doesn't do the traditional, you're getting very sleepy sort of stuff. He does more using confusing conversation and stuff like that, and conversation which leads to deeper stakes conversation. Oh, is this kind of like when
Darren Brown pickpockets that guy out on the pier?
Yeah. Oh. Well, no. That's a different form of confusion and misdirection. But it's more like, have you ever, like, been on, like, a really, really long, boring drive? And, like, you just...
Yeah, sort of, driven from Fort McMurray to Vancouver.
And you just lose, like, an hour of time.
I think I fell asleep.
But, like, that's called highway hypnosis, and that's, like, the kind of trance that he tries to induce through conversation. So he'll use conversation which is...
I think slightly every confusing. One of my school teachers was qualified to do this.
But it's, like, using confusing language... And using techniques within the language, which are known as embedded commands. So you would say a sentence which has a command within the sentence. So your subconscious will pick up on that command and will follow the command while consciously you didn't register it as a command. So once you start going into a trance-like state, you become more and more prone to these suggestions. And that's where he'll get you into a trance. And from that point, he'll do his change work, depending on what it is he wants to work on, or you want to work
on. So what is his, what is the goal that somebody who's qualified in that is trying to do for somebody?
Depends on the person. Like, can be anything from, like, quitting smoking.
Oh, so he's those types. Like, yeah. For somebody like me who is afraid of flying, they could, like...
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Trying to convince you to not be so afraid of flying.
Yeah. Personal change. He also does sports therapy, so like taking athletes and trying to get them into better mindsets and stronger mindsets. So yeah,
you didn't throw that pass and make your team lose the Super Bowl right before.
But that's
I was going to make a joke at the Seahawks expense, and then I decided not to because I do like that team.
But like, one of the examples he had was a cyclist who used to do races and stuff like that, and he'd get all these really great times in practice, but when he'd come to doing the actual race, he wouldn't be able to get good times, and because it was his mindset, he put too much pressure on himself. So Jasper would put him in trance and try and change that mindset.
Did this guy tell you all this? Isn't this supposed to be, like, confidential?
No, this was before the point he was qualified, and he'd also got the guy to do testimonials and stuff.
Maybe, like that. Maybe none of that stuff actually ever happened, and he just made you think it did.
That's possible. It's entirely possible. I wouldn't know, but Jasper and I actually worked together for a while after that, because I probably did about 6 weeks with Sunny, and then Sunny got busy and the meetup group stopped. So I continued with Jasper for a while, and we were working on sort of faster inductions, like the Darren Brown style, like the handshakes and speed inductions and stuff like that, which was, it was fun and it was interesting, but it becomes hard to learn anything when you're not actually practicing on people.
Do you feel like you've learned anything from it? Have you used anything if you have learned?
I made my girlfriend like Brussels sprouts.
What?
Yeah. That was using some NLP techniques, but
it worked?
Yeah. What? Yeah, she hated Brussels sprouts. She likes them now.
No, so she's just like, let's watch a movie. Oh, okay, I'm putting the popcorn on, and you come out, and she's got a bowl of Brussels sprouts on her lap, just like smothered in butter.
It's not that bad. I don't know how much it actually worked, though, but like, it could be one of those things that she just didn't like Brussels sprouts in a certain way, and then she...
So, what was the point in you doing that? Like, why did it matter if she liked the Brussels sprouts or not?
It was more the point... This was when her and I first met, actually. This was like...
And you're just like, I can't date a chick who does not like Brussels sprouts.
No, she was... We got into the conversation of hypnosis and all that kind of stuff. And she was talking about how she was interested in it and had she'd actually been to a hypnosis session back in England and stuff like that. And I started talking about NLP and some of the stuff I was learning. Was
a sex hypnosis session?
No. But started talking about what I'd been learning in LP and whatnot. And she was like, oh, can you make me like Brussels sprouts? I was like, could try.
That's weird.
And it worked, which was... I don't know.
Either that or it never worked, and she just wants you to feel really good about it, so she just, like, grinds through it. She's really swallowing them whole, which is a talent on its own, I suppose.
Yeah, so that's about the only thing I use hypnosis for, which is sad, because I'm still interested in it. I do want to go back to learning it. The problem is just between all the immigration stuff lately. Jesus, that's sad. All the immigration stuff lately and between the bans.
Oh, yeah, because you almost got deported, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun day. I didn't do anything wrong. I swear to God, I did not do anything wrong.
Yeah, why did you almost get deported again? I can't remember.
So, my visa expired in November.
Sounds like you should have renewed that before, huh?
I had applied for an extension. So, when you're between visas, if you've got an application in, you're on implied status. So, that means the status that you're applying for, you've got until you're accepted or rejected on the application for the extension.
Unless you're Aussie John.
So, I was on the... I was on the extension when my visa expired on the implied status. The day before my visa expired, I went to the border because I wanted to make sure I didn't need to do anything once I was implied status and all that. I didn't have to notify them. So I went down and just found out what I needed to do and just make sure there wasn't anything else I could do. And I just speaking to the guy, he's like, once you've got your implied status, once that's up, if you don't have a visa, come straight to the border and change your visa to a visitor visa and you can re-enter. So I was like, that's fine. I'd called the CIC and they said exactly the same thing. Once your implied status is up, go to the border, get a visitor visa. It's like, no problem. Fine. Too easy. I'm not going to get this visa when I need it. So once my implied status was up, I went straight to the border and they were like, you shouldn't be coming here. They were like, your visa...
This sounds awfully familiar, because yeah. I'm pretty sure last year, not last year, but a couple of years ago, you had the same thing happen, and you expired like 2 days. And
then one day. Because, like,
and then
I was
we
under...
took you to the border, and when we were coming back in, they're like, this is a problem, everybody come inside, and
yeah.
We had to sit inside and deal with the border...
Yeah, and, but that was my fault.
What was the problem? Something like, time you had been in Canada
for
24
day.
Hours illegally.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh no.
I was under the impression the visa had to expire before you could get a new visa.
You know what's my favorite part about that day, though? After we finally got your paperwork dealt with, and then we went, but we had to go inside to the border, and we were on the Canadian side. My favorite part about it was... The Canadian border guards were, like, really friendly and happy, and they had a box of Timbits with them. Yeah. You remember that? They just had Tim Hortons
in
there.
But, yeah, so I went back to the border, and they were like, you shouldn't be coming here. Who told you to come here to get a visa? I said, CIC and border guard from about 3 weeks ago. They're like, why did you come here 3 weeks ago? I said, because my visa was expiring. They're like, so your visa's expired on the 23rd. You should have left on the 23rd. I'm like... No, I was on implied status. I'm like, okay, what have you been doing to support yourself? I said, I've been working. And they're like,
no.
And like, you should be working on implied status. I'm like, the CIC told me I could work on implied status. Implied status, I mean, implies I have status. So I had a visa.
So your implied status, you're basically, you can maintain the exact visa status
yeah.
that you had.
Until
your new one comes. So because you were on a work vacation, then you should have been allowed to work and vacation.
Well, this is the issue with the work holiday program is the fact that it's a non-extendable visa. And this is the whole argument is people have been applying for extensions on this when they shouldn't have been, which I thought was my exact issue is I applied for it thinking I was going to get an extension, even though I didn't. So I'd applied for something that I shouldn't have applied for. So I still had implied status. That was like black and white. Law said I had implied status. But for some reason, the border doesn't understand implied status. It's actually, a lot of people have said they're not updated on a lot of the things because there's so many changes so regularly. But So they're not updated on what the actual implied status means. So some do know, some don't know. Depends which border you go to and whatnot. So they got upset about that, and then pretty much turned around and said, "You should have left Canada on the 23rd. So what are you doing here today?" And I said, "I need to change to a visa." And then they're like, "Well, you shouldn't have come here for that. You should have done that online. Why didn't you do it online?" It's like, "Because I was told to come here." Like, "I don't believe you. No one would have told you to do that." I was like, "I've been told by two different people to come here and do this. Like, two people in authority. I've been told by a CIC and another border guard to come here." And they're like, "No, I don't believe you. No one would tell you to do that."
And you have bad luck.
Yeah. I was like, they're like, "I can't, like, you didn't bring your PNP application with you." I was like, "Well, I didn't think I need it. Like, I brought the letters that I thought I'd need, which was my letter of refusal for my extension and my passport. That's all I thought I'd need."
So, your extension was refused.
Yeah.
So what did you end up getting?
I got the visitor visa in the end after an hour of sitting there having them tell me that I should be getting on the next flight home and, you know, am I packed and ready to leave Canada and all this shit. They eventually came around and gave me a visitor visa, and then I was on visitor visa for 6 weeks until my PNP was approved. And then I got...
How many times can a person renew a visa before they're... Like, is there a limit?
The work holiday program, there wasn't. They've changed that this year. Now there is, but I'm not on a work holiday program now. Now I'm on an open work permit.
Well, what is that?
So that's just a work permit. It's just a permit, which means I can work now. Whereas a work holiday permit was...
You could only work within your field, right?
No. The work holiday meant you can work anywhere and do anything except for sex trades. But
well, that's no fun.
But the visa I'm on now is... you can get as many of those as you can. Whereas the work holiday program, they have limits. Like,
are you still going to try and become a citizen?
Yeah, or? Yeah. I've got my PNP. I'm doing... So PNP is a provincial nominee program. So I've got a nomination from the province to apply for residency. So the next stage is I'm waiting for my English results to come back.
Oh, you failed.
No, I passed. I did pass. Really? I did better than Claire, and she's from England. I'm so proud of that. But, so I'm just waiting for the paper results to come in, and I'm waiting for my PNP certificate to come in. And once I do that, then I apply for express entry, and it's a whole new ball game. I don't even know what I'm doing there.
So eventually, you're going to become an Osnadian.
Hopefully,
yeah, an Osnadian.
Yeah, I just can't be Osnadian. Yeah, yeah. So that's the plan, anyway.
Not bad.
Yeah.
So obviously, does your work sponsor you for that? Or?
Yeah, yeah. So they sponsor me for the PNP, and they've pretty much stated that they'll employ me for the entire time of my residency process. Barring some major fuck-up on my behalf and I have to get fired.
Oh, yeah, so if you're being sponsored by your current employer...
Yeah.
What if you're laid off?
I can find another employer. They just have to meet the criteria of the employer I've got at the moment.
And then does your sponsorship restart? Like, how long does it take?
No, it just changes employment. That's the only thing. They just change my employer on the application. That's it.
Oh, so once you're sponsored, that's it. You can go.
Once I got that nomination from the province, then I'm right. So, yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having it done, but it's still a bit of a process to go. It's going to be a while, so.
And here I was like, oh man, I'm going to Vancouver, and it might not even be there. I might not be able to come back. And I would have had to go to Australia, but.
Yeah, that's such a terrible thing, having to go to Australia.
Well, I mean, I would do it. I'm very, very happy right now to be out of the snow and out of the winter temperatures.
Yeah.
There was a 30-degree temperature difference that I went across in 2 hours.
That's crazy.
Like, okay. Yesterday, I think it was 5 degrees here.
Yeah.
All day yesterday. I was in shorts and t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad here except for the lack of snow. It would be nice to have a bit of snow here.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Like, usually the mountains are open for a little bit. Yeah. But my cousin got laid off from his ski job. Like, yeah. There was nothing.
Yeah, I've got a friend who was somewhere down in America, and she got laid off and sent back to Australia as well. So, yeah. In America, the holiday programs, like, you've got a job, and that's it. Like, if you lose that job, you go back to Australia. Like,
really?
It's not like the work holiday season. Yeah.
Thumb it around down here until you find your way again.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately not. So she had to go home after that. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
I can still hear them.
Yeah.
I guess, how long did we go for time here? About 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Your girlfriend is probably sitting on the other side of this, like, room.
No. She said she was going to grab some sushi, but she must be getting some, like, bored. Or she's here, but I didn't hear the buzzer go.
Well, yeah, we definitely would have heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, probably would definitely throw this fucking headphones.
Well, I guess that's all the time we have for today, man. I was very, very happy to come back and talk with you and kind of complete my promise. And I caught up on the hypnosis stuff with you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got to hear what you're doing musically now.
Yeah.
Which is good. I'm glad that you're getting a chance to progress in that, and that with me leaving and that band falling apart hasn't, like, ruined that for you at all?
No, definitely. I never will. Like, I'm always going to be involved in music. It's always been something I've loved and always done, you know? Like, I'm not going to leave that behind at all for anything. Like, even if it is just me sitting on the computer programming something and putting together music digitally, like,
Do you guys have, like, a Facebook page or a Twitter page or anything you want to plug? Is there anything you can
Not at all. Like I said, the one with Ray is still entirely in startup stages at the moment, and I'm written scriptures. I'm doing all the recording for at the moment. I could send you through some demos to put some little snippets in your songs and your podcast somewhere.
That's it, eh?
Yeah. That's the best I can do.
Well, yeah. You never know, because I could always use some extra stuff in there.
Yeah.
Right now, I just have the intro and the outro that we did down at Stuckless Studio, which is where Shadows rehearses.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
Maybe I'll have to check out some of your samples and see what we can find within there.
Yeah, cool.
On that note, thanks for tuning in and having a listen.
Must have been the most boring podcast you've ever listened
anybody
to.
Anybody who's out there. And recently, I don't think I've mentioned this, but you can now follow this this podcast on Twitter at GingerStashPod. Sorry, GingerStashPod. You can also find it on Instagram now as well. So you can catch up and see some of the collection I've been building that I've been posting, and some photos of John and I here doing this pod. So, thanks for listening.